When we move to the fourth case today, Yocana versus Gonzalez. Ms. Hannigan?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Counsel, for your opponent is present, and you may proceed.
This is Judge Wood, Ms. Hannigan. I wonder if you could focus on essentially the changed circumstances argument that the IJ appears to be persuaded by. As we know, Saddam Hussein hasn't been in power for some couple of years now in Iraq. Yeah, I mean, that I think is the essence of this, because the Ba'ath Party, it may be a state of chaos in that country or whatever, but it's a different world than the one this person left.
Okay, I would like to draw the court's attention to its decision in the Minjitsu versus Ashcroft case on page 22 of the brief. In that case, it was the Ethiopians offending the people from Eritrea, and during the pendency of the crime, the war between the two countries had ended, and the BIA denied a motion to reopen, citing the fact that Ethiopian troops had withdrawn from Eritrea, and the U.S. had deployed peacekeeping troops to the region. So the persecuting regime had collapsed, just like the last regime had collapsed. And the court found that the BIA failed to find the conditions had altered for Eritreans living in Ethiopia. The court, there's a typo at the bottom of page 22, it says the board, the very last sentence. The board took judicial notice, that should say this court took judicial notice of more recent articles and reports finding that conditions had in fact not been altered by the end of the war.
But let me ask you, if you wouldn't mind, to focus on exactly which conditions you argue have not altered. Because as I understand it, Mr. Yocana raises three different protected categories under the statute: political opinion, religion, and ethnicity. And there may be a different response to that. Maybe political opinion as to being against the Ba'ath Party is quite different now. But what are you arguing has not changed?
One is that as far as political opinion, just because the Ba'ath Party is no longer in power, he also testified, as you just said, that he was being persecuted because of his religion and ethnicity, because he was an Assyrian Christian. And after the ending of the Ba'ath Party, the persecution of Assyrian Christians continues to this day.
Now, of course, this is Judge Rovner. Good morning, Ms. Hannigan. The IJ made a finding of fact that he was beaten because his interrogators believed he was involved in the smuggling of gas. Yeah, well, I wanted to know, when you get to it, if you're arguing that we need to find, as a matter of law, that the beating related to his religion rather than their beliefs as to the crime.
Yes, that is essentially my argument. Because if you read the brief and what he testified to, his whole argument about the crime and the smuggling of the fuel to northern Iraq is that they crossed this man who was an Assyrian Christian, and he escaped. Then they tried to stick the charge to the petitioner, and he claims they tried to put the charge on him because he was an Assyrian Christian, and they dragged him into it. And it's really not unlike the Moscati Ford case on page 25 of the brief, where a man, an Iranian, was convicted of drug trafficking in the United States, but he had also converted to Christianity. And when returning to Iran, he would be subject to a dual persecution, one for the crime of drug trafficking, but secondly, because he had converted to Christianity. And in the instant case, the immigration judge did not want to protect someone who was accused of being accomplice to a crime. But in this case, the prosecution for smuggling and the persecution on account of being a Syrian Christian are so closely intertwined as to be one and the same.
Now, he did not, it's Judge Rovner again. Now, he did not present any evidence tying the persecution to his religion, and apparently, I guess, did not even relate any harm to his religion in his initial asylum application.
I thought his initial asylum application actually does mention quite frequently his Assyrian Christian identity.
My question is not that. My question was that he didn't tie any evidence, that he didn't present any evidence tying the persecution to his religion.
In another
area, it's Judge Rovner again. Is the government correct in arguing that we lack jurisdiction over the denial of the motion to reopen because Mr. Yukana failed to file a notice of appeal from that decision?
Counsel, you're into your rebuttal time if you want to save some time for rebuttal. Or you can continue.
Anyway, I was not aware of that fact, and I don't have the record with me. I didn't get a chance to go through it again to see if there was anything that I missed. But I did hear that the correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Maloney?
May it please the court. My name is Sarah Maloney, and I'm representing the respondent, the Attorney General. The issue here is whether the record evidence compels a finding that the petitioner is a refugee. Substantial evidence supports the agency's decision that the petitioner didn't establish that he has a well-founded fear of persecution in Iraq. The immigration judge reasonably determined that the petitioner didn't have an objective basis for his fear, of political persecution on account of his refusal to join Hussein's Ba'ath Party.
Now, my question here for you, Ms. Maloney, has to do not with the immigration judge's rejection of the political opinion ground, given everything. But when you look at Mr. Yukana's original application, he checks all three boxes. He checks the box for religion and for ethnicity as well as political opinion. And he testifies extensively, actually, about his situation as an Assyrian Christian. They basically grab the first Assyrian Christian they can find when they can't get this other guy. And also in the record is the State Department report, which has a great deal of information in it about persecution of Assyrian Christians in today's Iraq. And I'm concerned that the immigration judge somehow just maybe doesn't catch the fact that he's got these other grounds for relief.
The immigration judge found that the petitioner didn't establish past persecution on account of religion or ethnicity.
Well, but where, can you point me to where he really discusses that as opposed to, I'm looking at his opinion.
In terms of
discussion of the evidence, it's the motivation.
Right, with regard to
then he just has this one sentence. The respondent was not physically abused or mistreated on account of his Chaldean Christianity or his Assyrian ethnicity. And then suddenly we get to a discussion about the Ba'ath Party and his sister's testimony, and then more about the Ba'ath Party. I don't know.
Well, there's a finding in there that you read.
Right.
And the record evidence doesn't compel a conclusion otherwise. The petitioner did testify at page 171. He speculated that his mistreatment by the Ba'ath Party was on account of his Assyrian ethnicity and Christian religion. However, he didn't identify a single instance in his experiences that would suggest that the Ba'athists were motivated to persecute him on account of ethnicity or religion.
But he has other testimony in the record showing that in general things are miserable in Iraq for Assyrian Christians. And in fact, I can think of other instances in which the overthrow of one regime actually makes things worse for a particular minority group than it was before. You know, by the time you have, let's say, a theocratic society headed by the Shia, maybe things are even worse for the Assyrian Christians. The State Department report seems to indicate that.
Well, the petitioner bears the burden of proof of showing that he's a refugee.
Right.
The evidence introduced before the immigration judge showed, and on appeal to the board, establishes that incidents of violence against Assyrian Christians occurred under the Hussein regime and following the fall of the Ba'athist Party.
Right. And the State Department report was before the immigration judge, so I'm not looking at anything that's not in the record here.
However, the evidence doesn't compel a conclusion that Assyrian Christians were persecuted at that time. The immigration judge reasonably determined that any confrontations between Assyrian Christians and Muslims were random and infrequent, and further, the petitioner failed to establish how these generalized incidents of violence against Christians affected his individual situation or placed him particularly at risk. There's no evidence that the petitioner was ever mistreated or harmed in Iraq.
Well, aside from his testimony,
aside from his speculation.
Well, he thinks that that's what happened because that was the only thing he had in common with this alleged thief.
He was only detained for one day, and that's consistent with the Iraqi authorities investigating whether he actually did have a connection with this thief. And upon learning that he didn't, they released him. It's inconsistent with a finding that the Iraqi authorities sought to persecute him on account of any protected ground. There's also no evidence in the record that the petitioner's family members who have been in Iraq and are a Syrian Christian have ever been harmed on account of their ethnicity or religion.
But what are we to make of these comments by the immigration judge that Mr. Yukana should go back to Iraq and help out? I mean, these seem really off base to me. He says, well, sir, don't you think that you could be of help to the U.S. forces in finding the bad, evil Ba'ath Party people? And then he says, the government of Iraq probably needs people like you.
Well, the petitioner was accorded full and fair opportunity to present his asylum claim, and any off-color comments.
Even though the immigration judge is making these completely off-the-wall comments.
Well, the petitioner did serve in the Iraqi military for years.
That doesn't mean he has a duty to go back and re-up, does it?
No. But certainly there's no indication that the petitioner's due process rights were violated. The proceedings were fundamentally fair. The transcript as a whole shows that they were. The petitioner had three hearings before the immigration judge to prepare his testimony, to present his claim, to present his objective evidence. He had a full decision review on appeal by the board.
You know, if the government's suspicion that he was involved in the criminal smuggling of gas and benzene was solely because he was of the same religion as the other suspect, doesn't that indicate that the subsequent beatings constituted persecution on account of his religion?
He was arrested on June 18, 2001, and he was detained for a day as the Iraqi authorities investigated his connection with the smuggler.
You've never heard the song "What a Difference a Day Made" to you?
No, I haven't. A reasonable fact finder could find that Iraqi authorities were motivated on account of the petitioner's Assyrian ethnicity and Christian religion. However, that the evidence of record doesn't compel that finding, and that's the standard of review.
I just want to point out, when you say he had a full hearing before the board, this is something we take on utter faith, since this is one of the 20-word affirm without opinion rubber stamps that the board likes to give. Maybe they read something, or maybe not. Who knows?
Well, there's a presumption of regularity, and there's certainly no showing that the board didn't fully consider the notice
right,
of appeal.
Right, but that's the most we can
say. And the appeal brief.
We will presume that something happened at the board, but we don't have any living evidence that it did.
I guess I'd like to turn to the jurisdictional argument over the motion to reopen briefly. This court lacks jurisdiction over that November 30th denial of the motion to reopen, and all of the petitioner's arguments advanced with regard to that order. The petitioner didn't file a petition for review of that order. His attempt to obtain review was foreclosed by Stone, wherein the court found that the consolidation provision of the INA requires two separate petitions for review be filed in order for the court to review two separate final board orders. Here, the petitioner filed only one petition for review of the board's March 16, 2004 order. Because the petitioner didn't file a petition for review of that November 30th order, and because the time limits for seeking review has now expired, the court only has jurisdiction over the March 16th order. Finally, I'd like to address the petitioner's judicial notice arguments. As I mentioned, the evidence in the record introduced before the immigration judge and the board on appeal establishes incidents of violence against Assyrian Christians at the time of their decisions. The petitioner hasn't identified any evidence that conditions have worsened for Christians in particular since his hearing before the immigration judge. The evidence he cites reports more of the same religious intolerance in parts of Iraq, and that Christians, like all other civilians, are innocent victims of the terrorist campaign against the new government. While isolated cases of religious intolerance and terrorism against citizens of different faiths and their places of worship continue, the government, the new government, clerics, and other religious leaders have called for tolerance. Further, the coalition and Iraqi forces are ferreting out those who are responsible for the violence, and therefore there is insufficient evidence for this court to take any judicially cognizable or notice of any fact rather than opinion. And again, like the petitioner in Jamil Dowd, the petitioner here hasn't demonstrated how current country conditions affect his individual situation. Therefore, he can't demonstrate a prima facie case for relief. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. How much time? Ms. Hannigan, you have 1 minute for your rebuttal.
Okay. I'd just like to say that the petitioner presented to the immigration judge 14 exhibits, which remain unchallenged by the DHS attorney. They're listed on page 19 of the brief. The murder of an Assyrian nun in Baghdad in 2002, which is one of the series of attacks on Assyrian Christians in Jerusalem, which was briefly stabbed to death. The throat was cut, and I was finding heads and stomach from my body. In Northern UN, safe-haven attacks against Assyrian villages, as well as bottles of condoms, have been reported. The government controlled areas of widespread harassment of Christians reported as a backlash against American military presence. The Iraqi government has done nothing to quell the rising anti-Christian sentiment.
Thank you, Ms. Hannigan.
Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.